What's up, everybody? That is not me trying to be putting on my gangster lean there. That's me slowly recovering from knee surgery a few weeks ago and getting better. I'm out of the wheelchair and kind of off the crutch. Don't tell my physical therapist. And glad to be here and cannot wait to join you on Easter weekend next week. In the meantime, want to welcome everybody to One Church in different places and different houses, from online to Iglesia, everybody that's joining us at Groves, about ready to launch on Easter Sunday, Mount Enterprise, Nacogdoches, online. Come on, everybody, let's welcome our church family. So glad to have you. The week before Resurrection Sunday, Jesus was traveling into Jerusalem, and something very simple but unbelievably profound happens when he tells the disciples to go find a stranger in a subdivision who's got a donkey tied up and take that donkey, because he's going to ride in and fulfill prophecy by riding in on the back of this donkey into Jerusalem. They show up to a stranger. They take the donkey. The stranger's like, whoa, why are you taking my stuff? And when they ask this, Jesus says, just say, the Lord has need of it. And the generosity of this stranger giving something as simple as a donkey fulfilled prophecy and changed the landscape of human history, not only physically, but spiritually for eternity. He plays now a very important story, a part of the whole Easter week story. Today, we have our guest with us, our guest ministry partner, Convoy of Hope. And one of their executive directors, Jeff Anderson, who's a personal friend of mine, who's been there for 15 years, is going to come and share some of the progress. We've been partnering with Convoy of Hope for more than a decade. And over the last several years, we have been a part of their Feed One initiative. We'll talk more about that and give you an opportunity, because the truth is, the Lord hath need of it. There is never going to be enough money for all the greed in the world, but there is always enough for the need in the world. We're going to talk about that today, so buckle up, get ready. Before Jeff comes, take a look at the screens.
Timber Creek Church. My name is Jeff Anderson, honored to be with you today, and that was just a little taste of what God's doing through Convoy of Hope. How many of you have never heard of Convoy of Hope before? Show of hands real quick. All right, so good. A majority of you have. So Pastor Jeremy and Janet, thank you for your friendship, your leadership, your love, the staff, and the team. Ladies and gentlemen, you are blessed to attend this church and be part of what God's doing. Can we give it up for your leaders? I'm honored to be with you today. Thank you. They're not only a gift to you, I appreciate them. They care. They have a heart for people. I love a church that is just going and blowing in its own community. And obviously, I wanted to get this right, because I wanted to at least do this once, because your pastor just modeled it. I haven't pastored for about 14 years. We pastored 24 years before coming to Convoy. And so I want to say hello to Nacogdoches, Mount Enterprise, Groves, and Spanish Iglesia, and the online people watching right now. See, I did it. I could actually do it. So, all right. Honestly, you have a rich history of generosity in this church. We're honored to be one of your strategic partners. Somebody asked me in between services, so many nice comments, people saying, hey, we're all in. We want to do Feed One. And they just said, you know, where do you live and where do you go to church? And they were just asking me some personal questions. And of course, I love telling people the fact that I am the fruit of a church across the street from this park in high school where I was just a little heathen kid. And one day at lunch, the Baptist church across the street from where all the stoners go to smoke their lunch, which is where I was, all the youth group comes over and they start witnessing to all these high school students. And that is where Jesus planted the seed of the gospel into my heart. And it was 4 months later that I found myself confessing my sins, turning my life over to Jesus at the ripe age of 18 years of age. And I've never looked back since then. So I'm grateful today for students that are here, that you feel the tension of living for Jesus. Everybody else is going that way and you're going this way. We get, and God's got power for us to live and promises for us to live. So this is not part of the message. This is part of me feeling like a pastor. Okay, I just want to say this. These passports touch me. So I've watched the last two Sundays online. And I will just tell you, I'm just going to throw my plug in there. It's amazing when somebody invites someone to church, takes care of them, meets them at the door, sits with them, and then when they're right there and the opportunity is given to respond, and you go with them to the altar. And you personally sponsor your friends and say, man, I want you to love and serve Jesus like our family does. So I'm excited for your church. You got Feed One packets at your seat. Your pastor will instruct you on those in just a moment. So here's the reason why I do what I do. I get up every day. I obviously want to glorify God. That's number one, right? In whatever you do. But secondly, I live for these people. This is my legacy. My wife, Mary from Montana, the girl next to me. I have three beautiful daughters, two amazing son-in-laws, three awesome granddaughters, and a son-in-law in the batting deck right now. He's like swinging. He's on deck. November 1st, he thinks he's going to marry my youngest daughter. So they've already asked me to do the wedding, but I haven't decided if I'm going to walk her down yet or not. So I'm going to officiate the third and final daughter's wedding and, of course, walk her down. We love Jake. Here's a couple grandbabies. I didn't introduce them in the first service. So Wilder on the left, and then Hadley, and then this is the newest one, Molly Jewel. Molly did not come to take charge. She came to take over. She's that tall, and she's fire. And I guess we don't have any. We have all strong-willed, Jesus-loving, God-fearing women in my family. Pray for the men in our family. That's all I got to say. Convoy of Hope has been demonstrating God's love in practical, tangible ways for 30 years. 30 years ago, in Northern California, Convoy was birthed through a sense of feeling, getting needs met to families that were working in fields, and Hal Donaldson and his siblings filled the back of a couple of pickup trucks and went to this neighborhood and just passed out groceries, really as an act of kindness, but also knowing that these people were struggling. It felt so good they did it again. And 30 years later, we have a fleet of tractor trailers that crisscross this country, bringing and delivering the hope, food, water, critical supplies, emergency supplies in disasters, in developing nations. Right now, I didn't give this equation, but I'll give it to you because it's just a good time to learn. ABCD, asset-based community development. ABCD, that's what we're looking to. In every city, God has a plan, and he wants to elevate that community by using biblical principles so that people are no longer dependent upon some outside source to meet their needs. That would be a good amen spot right there. Because God wants all of us to have something good to eat, clean water to drink. And you know, right now, there's plenty of food in the world and getting clean water. It's access. It's getting it to people in need. And so Convoy of Hope has to deliver that hope. We've demonstrated God's love followed by a presentation of the good news. Here's a couple verses to set up our time today. Proverbs 29:7, the righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. So today, if you're a follower of Jesus, so if you're watching this, say, hey, I've never really served God. I'm really not into Christianity. I really don't know what they're talking about. Well, you'll understand this piece in a moment. But if you are a follower of Jesus, but God says he loves the world. So we don't have an option to not meet needs of people that are in front of us, but also to love people who are tough to love. Amen? Don't turn to your neighbor and say amen and look at them. But my wife and I, you know, it's a series of forgivenesses and commitments and dedication. And I will say this, that when you're in that relationship, be in it for the long haul. Be in that relationship and say, man, I believe God's going to do something good. But many of you maybe are watching, it's like the first time I've ever heard that I really care about this world that God's created. Well, look at what Ezekiel says. I wouldn't recommend this for your Monday morning devotions, but it's in there. It's actually quite convicting. It says this, now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned, and they didn't help the poor and needy. Time out. I thought God was provoked by other sins from Sodom and Gomorrah, not what I just read. And look what will anger God. If we're not concerning ourselves with the poor and suffering, if we're arrogant, we're just into us, if we're overfed and we are, and unconcerned and we are, and this provoked the heart of God, why? God's got a sweet spot for the least, the last, and the lost in the world. And we are his people representing his kingdom interests. Everywhere Jesus went, what did he do? He gave hope. He brought healing and help and life and forgiveness. Deuteronomy 15:10, give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. So my wife and I, we met at Bethany Bible College, and she left Montana. I was a California boy. We met, and 38 years ago in June, I looked back and I've said, you know what? God's not only been generous and good to us, I've never once regretted giving in an offering. So we have this little workout system where when we're in a service and we believe God will confirm a number or confirm something that we want to give to missions, hers is always more. Like my wife's is always more. She would give, she literally is one of those people that would just give everything she had. She's a good social worker. She's a Caesar, and she's a servant in Caesar's household with the public school system, and she's an amazing social worker at a school, but she really loves Jesus. She prays with her client. People just are like, yeah, Mary's amazing. And it's because she's got her eyes on Jesus. But here's the deal. God will bless you as you give generously to the poor, not grudgingly. So there's a heart check when we do what we do today with Feed One. Finally, Deuteronomy 15:11 says, there will always be some in the land who are poor. This is why I'm commanding you to share freely with the poor and with the other Israelites in need. So today, Feed One is simply taking $10 every month and feeding a child through one of our programs. And Children's Feeding Initiative, really, we're feeding right now 570,000 children every school day in 30-plus countries. Not only is that meal making a difference, it's combating global hunger, it's giving a clear presentation of the gospel, but witnessing the power of hope where everyone has access to food and clean water. So in between, on my way to church, I rolled through Starbucks and I just got a quick coffee and something, and it was $9.97. And I just whipped up and looked at the receipt, and I put it back in the seat, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, for the reminder of what $10 can buy. This or helping feed kids around the world through Feed One. And I just thought, it's God's way of sharing with me why I do what I do, because I work for those kids every single day. Well, Timber Creek, you have helped us feed kids over the years. Since 2017, you've done Feed One. Many of you signed up early on. Today could be your first day. First time to actually sign up and say, hey, we're going to feed a bunch of kids. Maybe you're re-upping your commitment today. Whatever it is, I just want to say thank you to Timber Creek Church for not only going all in with us, but yesterday, Groves, with the groceries, and just the hand up that gives people, the hope that you gave people yesterday. But also, you've done field teams, missions trips, local community events. You've helped us respond to disasters around the world. And Timber Creek Church, you have been an amazing partner with Convoy of Hope. So today, the stories that we tell are your stories. The impact that we're having, that's because of what you do. Here's a couple of the beautiful kids from our programs, our Children's Feeding Initiative. And this particular little girl, her name is Angelica. It's not a real name, but that's her name right now. I can't give you her real name. So she walked up to me in Nicaragua at this, we just got done building a kitchen at this particular school. 800 kids, 400 kids a shift. And in between the shift, they're all on campus for lunch. So the early morning kids end with lunch, the afternoon kids start with lunch. So 800 kids converge on this little piece of property around this brick school, and they line up, and the line is a long line, and they get their hot meal. And this little girl, when she stopped right where I was standing, next to be like your pastor and another associate. We were just standing there loving on the kids, high-fiving them, and helping them get to their tables. This little girl stopped, looked at me, and said, "Take my picture." I've been to a lot of places. That has never happened to me. So I'm like, "Yes, ma'am." Pulled out my phone, took that picture. And that is the picture that she wanted you to see of her. And she stopped and she looked at me, and I had grabbed the interpreter. I said, "Get over here real quick because I got to talk to this girl." And she said to me, she goes, "Thank you for the food." She said, "I'm going to go back to the table with my friends and eat it all." So then she goes back to her table. She eats it all, except the egg. I sit down at the table, this just big white guy sitting at the table with all these little kids, and they're watching, and they didn't stop eating, by the way. And they, not a bean left, not a speck of rice on the plate. They are clean. She gets up, and she puts the egg in a little Tupperware container, pops the lid on, slips it in her little pack and her little cubby, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" She goes, "I'm eating that with my little brother tonight." He goes, "Because he's going to enjoy it just like I would." But she said, "I'm bringing that home." And it had a profound impact on me. I just thought, you could eat all that food, and that's good nutritious food. That's micronutritional food in there. It's got all the vitamins and minerals, but she saved the egg. And I said, "Why are you doing that?" She said, "I've never had a whole egg. I've never had a whole egg." And she said, "I'm just going to take it home and enjoy it with my brother." We saw kids loading containers with the meager meal they were getting. They would put a portion of that meal into those Tupperwares and pop them back in their little cubbies to only to take home to a child who is food insecure. So an empty stomach has no ears. Mark Buntaine said that when he was serving in India, the late great missionary Mark Buntaine, and realizing when your head hurts, your stomach is aching, your body hurts, you need sustenance. You need something good to eat. You need some clean water to drink. And of course, we're seeing at Convoy where people live should not determine if they live. Every single day, 16,000 children perish from the earth because of malnutrition and starvation, disease, and water-related illnesses. In fact, a mom in this community said, "Thank you for feeding the kids. We don't want you feeding our grandkids." And that mom had a profound impact on me. She was a volunteer in this school program at this particular school you're looking at. We are trying to meet needs at Convoy without creating a culture of dependency. And we're hoping that poverty cycle is broken. Here's some of the beautiful women and girls. I have a particular soft spot for this. As I'm not only a girl dad, a girl papa, love my son-in-laws, but I will tell you, strength, dignity, hope, and skills to the beautiful women and girls around the world that we serve and empower and equip. A mom in Nicaragua in this particular school said, "Convoy of Hope taught me a new word." And I asked her, I said, "What is that word?" And she said, "Tomorrow." She said, "Tomorrow is the new word I know." And she said, "Because we were hustling for today, to live for today, to feed our families today. But," she said, "with Jesus, we feel like we have a future. We have a hope because we can do this." Our farmers growing more and better food. You can see here the Center for Agriculture Food Security that Convoy of Hope is directly responsible for developing here in the U.S. And we're partnering with other ministries so that these countries can grow more and better food for their own people. So we're excited about that. 2 weeks ago, I was in this place, backyard of this particular pastor in El Salvador. Pastor Joel pastors a little Assembly of God church. He's got hundreds of kids that come on property every school day for a hot meal. Convoy supplies the meal. But he was particularly proud. He took our team and he walked us through the jungle. And I said, "Joel, where are we going?" He said, "Well," he said, "I'm going to show you guys what I got going here." So he didn't tell us. We get down these terraces, and all of a sudden, it opens up to the most, it was just a huge tomato garden, and then down the other terrace was a pineapple, a place where he's grown pineapples. So all of these different things he's growing, and I said, this is exciting. I said, he goes, let me tell you a story. He said, every month, once a month, I take my wife to Pizza Hut in San Salvador, and I'm like, oh, I think I've been to that Pizza Hut. And he said, yeah, and he said, we were sitting there going through the salad bar, and he said, we both love pizza, and we did the buffet, and we load up, and we get a lot of salad, and we realized there's seeds in a lot of the things that we were eating. So he said, we just kept the seeds, and we wrapped them in napkins, and we folded them up, and we put them in our pockets, and we took them home, and we prayed we could germinate them and grow. And I said, well, how'd it go? And Pastor Joel went like this. As far as you could see, his garden was planted by our new global partner, Pizza Hut, at Convoy of Hope. And I thought to myself, God, how, just the moment that he took to explain to us, we were speechless. Like, you are hearing this story, like, wait a second, we take for granted so many things around us, and yet Jesus was speaking to him saying, Jeff, if I could just do this, I could grow more and better food for people in our church and people in our community. And he said, God's going to use this for his glory. And he was so proud of the pineapples in particular that he grew, because a neighbor told him, you can't grow pineapples, Pastor Joel. You just can't do it. And so he's standing down there amidst about 100 pineapples. Agriculture, harvest, multiplication, it's what Convoy is all about. But here are some of the numbers. And I think your partnership with us speaks for itself, providing hope to children, hope to adults and families. Not only does 92 cents of every dollar go to relief efforts and everything that we do, but the best number on this list is really the thousands and thousands of people that found Jesus through the local church, just like this, just like Timber Creek, where people are walking into these churches and they're discovering Jesus for the very first time. Today, Africa is facing the greatest hunger crisis the world has seen in 5 decades. Convoy of Hope is launching the Africa Waits campaign to invest more resources into some of the world's most vulnerable communities. Check this out.
So this one is Madare Valley. Madare Valley is home of the poor. Madare has more than 500,000 children. Their parents have no income or source of money, so they are being left home, not going to school.
Maybe their parents are bedridden. Maybe they are affected with the HIV. The kids who their parents are drug addicts, those are poor of the poor. I need to do something for those kids. I want to change my community holistically. May God help me to be a lamp to make a change, because I just believe that change starts with us.
They are surviving on their own. No one to take care of them, no one to nurture them, no one to teach them, no one to train them. This is why we have this program, through taking the children to our school. We become father to them, counselor, guidance, and their protector.
The school has already grown and was getting broken down. That time we could not even now provide food. We didn't have anybody to support us. You cannot teach a person with an empty stomach or they cannot concentrate. So now when the Convoy of Hope came in, it was like a dream. We have fruits, we have porridge, we have lunch, and also tomorrow they will come because they know that in school there is food, and when they stay at home, there is no food. convoy of hope is like a petrol being put in a car. They are energizing me every day. But we need to do more, because in Mathare, food alone could not give them a brighter future. We call it Changa. Some people have nicknamed it Kill Me Slowly.
That Changa is made up of unclean water from Mathare River. It's mixed with ethanol.
They think that maybe taking alcohol is the only solution to make them now to forget about the problem that they are passing through.
I grew when my father was drinking. It has been his habit when he's drunk, he come at home, he starts abusing us, starts screaming like a mad person. I think it was affecting his brain. Patrick was my neighbor, and one day he came and told me that there is an organization who want to mentor some girls.
We just bring them together, we talk with them, we do the counseling.
I never liked the way I was. I just see myself as a disappointment. But when I came to realize that I was made in God's image and likeness, this motivated me. Through this program, I'm empowered. I realized that I can become a better person and I can express myself. I would not like to see another child or another girl passing the same thing that I myself passed through. I have hope. It's like my dream is coming true.
Out of thousands, millions of people here in Kenya, they knew that God has called us to come and be his vessels. Through these kids, I know that we were chosen out of many to present the kingdom of God.
Timothy Keller said, "If you have money, power, and status today, it's largely due to A, the century and place in which you were born, and B, your talents and capacities and health, none of which you earned. In short, all your resources are in the end the gift of God." And today, I really am not here to say, hey, because we have more, we need to give. Today, we're going to be part of the solution today in Jesus' name to the world that is hurting and broken and lost in darkness. There's a story that best illustrates what I felt like God wanted me to say with you and in setting up this opportunity to really partner with Convoy through Feed One. It's a story found in Luke chapter 10, and it's a story really where they tried to buttonhole Jesus and trick him and maybe giving the wrong answer. And we read in this story, and I'm going to highlight it pretty quickly, Luke 10, 25. An expert in the religious law stood up to Jesus to put him to a test by asking him this question, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" And the man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said, "That's correct. Do this and you'll live." And the man wanted to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus told this story. A man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He was attacked by bandits. They stripped him, beat him, and left him half dead beside the road. This guy got mugged. By chance, a priest came along. When he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road. Same, a temple assistant or Levite walked over and looked at him lying there. He also passed on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along. When he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. He went to him. He soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine, bandaged them himself. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, hotel, where he could take care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins and said, "Take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "Well, the one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." End of story. And therein lies the principle why Convoy of Hope does what we do. He first opened his eyes and he saw the need. He basically said, the priest and Levi basically said, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But the Good Samaritan flipped the question and says, if I don't stop to help this guy, what will happen to him? And that's the difference between living a Christian life and just a life for ourselves. Just as my pastor would call it, the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. And pretty much it's been a lifelong battle to deal with my selfish nature every single day. I just don't wake up in Ozark, Missouri, where I live, and I'm just this instant, amazing minister, and I'm all spiritual all the time. Most of you know that is not true, right? So, but many of you think, it's like, why is it easier for someone else to live for God? It's not. It's a lifestyle that, and you just went through this series on good intention and finding balance and all of the areas of being distinctively Christian that you've learned from your pastor and your staff here. But we do live in a culture of extremes. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could be extremely generous and kind and loving and counterbalance the greed and selfishness and darkness of this world? Well, that's what we're experiencing at Convoy of Hope. It is amazing when we roll in, not just with the gospel, but working with the local church and very carefully beginning partnerships in these communities, you'll open your eyes and see the need. So that's the first question. We know God loves the world. We know 42% of the earth has not had an adequate presentation of the gospel. And we know 500 million people went to bed hungry last night, and today 16,000 children will perish from the earth because they didn't have something good to eat. So for us at Convoy, that's unacceptable. So for us, the need is great, and sometimes that need is the call. He opened his heart and he felt the need. Secondly, so you open your eyes, say, God, let me see the world the way you see it. Secondly, he opened his heart and he felt the need. It says that he had compassion upon him. And third, he opened his hands and he met the need. So it's interesting, no one would remember the Good Samaritan if he only had good intentions. Nobody would preach a sermon on the good, it just wouldn't happen. But he was also, he planned his day because this guy was a businessman. He had relationships with the inn. He knew people, he knew things. He had resources on hand, a donkey, medical supplies, food, water. He was about his business that day, but he stopped long enough to make God's business his business and said, I'm gonna help this guy. Every day, the Lord is asking us, where do you want us to go? Who do you want me to bless today? And the Good Samaritan gave basically everything he had at that moment, in addition to his eyes and his heart, his donkey, his feet, his hands, his time and his money. But the Good Samaritan would have never been known if he just had good intentions. But he prepared himself that day for divine interactions and God moments to serve the needs of those around him. He was willing to be interrupted. He was willing to be inconvenienced. He was willing to pay the price for that moment, ready to show kindness. So for the past 30 years, Convoy has served as the innkeeper in this story. We open up, set up shop, turn the lights on, and we have trusted partners around the world like Timber Creek Church. And when we keep the lights on and we keep ministering to people like we are, we provide an inn for Timber Creek Church to partner with so that the poor and suffering, the hungry and the thirsty and the needy can receive help and hope in Jesus' name. It is literally meeting physical and spiritual needs of people around the world. So Jesus was the Good Samaritan, the original, but today his church, you, are the one whose hearts are moved, and you see it, you feel it, you can respond to it. And what does that look like, Jeff? Pray for us. Pray for my team. Pray for our team overseas. Sponsor some kids today. So I was in Wisconsin doing a seniors retreat, because that's where I'm at in my life right now. I'm being asked to do seniors retreats. Lord Jesus, help me. I'm not doing any more youth camps. So anyway, it's a bummer. But anyway, so I'm doing this retreat, 400 people in the room, and we had a great time. And I talked about Feed One. I had people standing at the table retired men and women, people with discretionary, whatever, they sponsored a boatload of kids, but this one gentleman, 6'2", real tall, distinguished, retired, he just whipped out his checkbook, popped it on the table, just started writing checks. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And he looked up at me, and he's got tears just pouring out of his eyes, and he goes, Mr. Anderson, he goes, I have 5 children and 5 grandchildren, and not one of them have ever missed a meal. Today, I'm sponsoring 11 kids for the year. Is that okay? I said, let me pray about it. Amen. Yes, that's fine. That's awesome. Just rewrote a big check. And he walked away, and his wife just looked at me and looked at him, and I realized in that moment that that was a practical way for this man to be part of this vision, and that's how he did it. He just said, hey, I'm giving because I'm grateful. So today, Mother Teresa said this to Hal Donaldson, everyone can do something. All of us in this room can feed some kids and really change their life. So your pastor's going to come, but right now I'm going to jump off the platform and I'm going to tell you a story via video of Chege, one of the kids, 8 years ago that we met in Mathari. Check it out.
If there's one thing I know, it's that our path in life is uncertain. I'm proof of that. My dad was abusive, violent, and an alcoholic. So one night my dad came home very late, drunk as usual, and he started spitting at my mama. The next morning my dad was gone, but my mom was left agonizing in pain. And she calls me and tells me, Johnson, I want you to run and find your daddy because I feel like I'm going to die. Those are the words I haven't forgotten for the last 17 years. So I ran so fast, found my dad. And when we got back, she was dead. At that time, I was 8 years old, but had never gone to school. My father had not let go of the alcoholism, so my grandma brought me to Nairobi. So soon after I arrived, my grandma was able to enroll me at a school called MCDC. Being in school also meant getting help from the Convoy of Hope, who supplied food and other things I needed but couldn't afford. The first shoes I wore was given to me by Convoy. That's the first shoe I wore in my life. Whoever invented shoes is a genius. For 3 years, my teachers didn't promote me to the next class because I was a fool. Well, I think I was a fool because I didn't understand anything in class. And I wasn't disturbed by that. I was only concerned with how I was going to survive. But one day I looked at myself and realized that I was at the bottom of my class and I was tired of struggling in life. I started working hard towards my books and my position in class was increasing. My teachers realized this boy is bright. So they promoted me 1 grade, 2 grades, 3 grades. In 1 year, I caught up in school. I passed my exams and started high school. I shared a room with a dozen other boys at the church, so we didn't have to live at home. Convoy continued to give us food, and we would sit here eating side by side, studying, planning for our futures. At that time, I had a teacher, Mrs. Lewis, who became a guardian angel to me.
You're very bright, Chege.
She knew I was experiencing hardship at home, and she would bring me bread and a cup of tea every morning. This is a woman who changed my perception of life. That's when I knew I wanted to become a teacher. Mrs. Lewis told me I was smart enough to go to university, and I believed her. So I applied to university. I knew I could never afford it, but that didn't matter. I finally had a vision for my future. I wanted to influence young people and educate fools like I had been. So I applied myself even more and I graduated high school near the top of my class. I know my mother would have been so proud of me. Through it all, the death of my mom, struggling in school, graduating, losing my home, selling in the streets, and everything in between, my life was full of chaos and uncertainty. But one day I got the news that changed my life. Because my grades were so good, I was given a scholarship to university. I was so happy, I was beyond words. So now I'm studying industrial chemistry. Someday I'll be a teacher. I'll change the lives of people in situations like mine. So every day I can, I come back here to my school and I tutor kids. I'm telling them that they are valuable. I'm telling them I was like them, hungry in my body and in my mind. And people like Convoy of Hope came along and fed me. And now because of them, I will never be the same. I will accomplish my vision and nothing can stop me.
Can you thank Jeff for coming and sharing some of the stories and the opportunities? As your pastor, I am very particular and incredibly guarded with how we navigate stewardship here. In particular, we do not do any special offerings except for two opportunities when we do special offerings for Project Rescue and human trafficking and for Convoy of Hope with Feed One. I guard that. Everything else is a big mutual fund. When you give on a Sunday, we've already passed the plate. When you give, all of that covers the 35 plus missionary endeavors and all of the ministries that happen locally and globally. So thank you for your already dedicated generosity. This doesn't take the place of that. This adds to it. And so let me give you some direction. Number one, if you're hearing this, but you are truly, as a mom or a dad or as a couple, you're concerned that I don't know if I could do the $10. We're barely surviving right now. There is no condemnation, there's no obligation, and there's no arm twisting here. So rest easy. If you are in the majority of people that can, this is not a matter of if you should. It's a matter of how much should you do. Don't let Pastor Jeremy determine that number. You ask God. God knows a whole lot better than I do. For Janet and I, we started giving to Feed One, and we invited the church to give 8 years ago. And in those 8 years, we have given as a church, are you ready? In the 8 years we've been doing this, $354,000 towards Feed One in the last 8 years. That is an average of $404,000. That's good. You can celebrate that. That is an average of 404 children that is fed every school day through Timber Creek Church. But the need continues to rise. When we started, the goal was to get to 100,000 children, and now we're over 500,000 8 years later, and the need continues to mount. Here is my dream for this church, that as our children's ministry grows, for every child that is in Timber Creek Kids, there would be another child being fed every day that they're in school. We average 702 children on a weekend right now at all of our Timber Creek locations, and we're averaging 404 kids. We have a space to get there, and I believe we can do that today at all of our locations. For Jana and I, we have been adding a child every year, and we're to now, this year will be 15 that we're going to be supporting. Don't let that be armor for you to wear, you determine. But I want you to consider your capacity and your opportunity to give the corner of your field when you can't even go to Chick-fil-A and get breakfast for $10 to consider this. So here's how you do it. The first and easiest way is in your envelopes, there was this card. The easiest way is to scan this QR code. It will take you to a dedicated page. You give directly to Convoy of Hope. Timber Creek doesn't keep any of this. You can scan and you can put in your system. Now listen to me, everybody that's already been a part of doing Feed One. Our number last month was 207 kids instead of the average of 404. Why is that? Because over 8 years, you know as well as I do, debit cards and credit cards, the expiration date expires, identity gets stolen, things get changed, things get lost. And so that number is dropping down. And so I'm asking everybody that is already committed to Feed One, I'm asking you to make a new commitment. And you can make that very clear on that memo on the envelope, or you can make that on your scan of your QR code. But I'm asking everybody to do what God lays on their heart to do. If you're going to not give digitally through the QR code, you would take this envelope, you can fill it out, your debit card or credit card information, or you can put a check made to Convoy of Hope directly there. We send these directly to Convoy, or you can put cash. None of this offering will be at Timber Creek. It all goes to feed kiddos. Now, we're not going to pray on whether we should give or not. That's a duh. But I am going to give us a second to just allow this moment so we're not rushed, so that you can scan that QR code, you can fill it out, and we'll receive our offering in just a moment. I'll call on the ushers at all of our locations to begin, but I'm going to step back for 30 seconds, let you finish it, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to pass the offering plate.